Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to a Dog Days of Summer edition of Believe in 49ers, presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I am your host, Tommy Call the Third. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy_III. That is triple I for the third. You can also catch all of my written work about the 49ers via USA Today's Niners Wire. So if you're interested in reading some of that, you know where to go. I am calling this podcast the Dog Days of Summer because it just reminds me of that, the dog days of summer in baseball season, where, you know, it's kind of quiet, there's not a lot going on, it's hot outside, there's just baseball on, too far away from the playoffs, too early, you know, too late into the season to really think about opening day, just that middle part. We're hitting that part of really the off season where, you know, we're getting close to the draft, but not really close enough to get super excited. But still close enough to talk about and preview. And, you know, we're creating some distance, obviously, from the start of free agency. A lot of players have come off the board. But there's also still some, you know, interesting players available that could sign these underrated deals that make an impact once the season rolls around. Long story short, a quiet period of the offseason. However, there's always some things to discuss with the San Francisco 49ers here on the Believe in 49ers podcast, specifically surrounding one wide receiver that's name has been talked about since the 49ers lost the Super Bowl to the Kansas City Chiefs in February. And so today on the podcast, we are going to talk about him, specifically the Brandon Ayuk situation festering in Santa Clara currently. We still have yet to receive any real clarity on what is going to happen with number 11 on the 49ers. We'll, you know, talk about him a lot, mention some players in the draft, my thoughts on the entire situation, what I think could happen, what I think should happen. And I also want to talk about one unit the 49ers seem to specifically be focusing on this offseason, and it might be about a new rule in the NFL that was recently unveiled. But before we get there, a quick message from our sponsor, Bet Online. It is down to the last four teams. Bet Online has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot more in store. MLB is here, and NBA, NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, Bet Online is your number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to Bet Online today and stay updated on all the action. And remember to use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. All right, let's get down to business. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about Brandon Ayuk. It's something I haven't spent a ton of time talking about here specifically on the podcast, just because there has been such little clarity. We're playing a bit of a guessing game, in my opinion. But now this situation has continued to drag on, and I think the longer the situation goes, and we're not necessarily even entering like the holdout phase, just the chatter phase of it. And if you Google Brandon Ayuk's name, like I did for this podcast, it's every article is why X team should trade for Brandon Ayuk, why this team should trade for Brandon Ayuk, what this means about Brandon Ayuk. Obviously, coming off the news of a massive blockbuster trade from Stephon Diggs going from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans to play with CJ Stroud. So there's obviously just a lot of chatter going around, specifically with Ayuk and the wide receiver market this offseason. And I think kind of the longer this situation goes on, I think it does mean the 49ers are surveying kind of every option, including a trade, potentially on draft day, or even, you know, letting him play out his fifth year option, which would likely trigger some form of a holdout. What I think is really tough about Ayuk's situation specifically is he's obviously incredibly talented. This is an ultra productive player. This isn't a guy that, you know, only can thrive in the right system. This isn't a guy that is overrated or a guy that's numbers look better than the production on the field. I personally am a big fan of Brandon Ayuk and his game. I think he is everything you'd want in a young wide receiver. A guy that gets better and better in almost every game, not just every season. I still don't really think he's peaked yet. But his new contract would likely and deservingly probably put him in that top 5, top 10 mark for pass catchers. And usually guys paid like that aren't only your number one option in the passing game, but the focal point on offenses. And I guess the question I continue to ask is Brandon Ayuk the number one option for the 49ers? And will he ever be that? And with Christian McCaffrey in town, that seems highly unlikely. And then shifting to the passing game, I think the 49ers are probably at their best with Deebo Samuel leading the passing attack, something we talked about a lot during the season. And then there's George Kittle, who's obviously a massive contributor. And the list kind of goes on and on for the 49ers. Where does Ayuk fit in this equation with the money that he is going to get paid? You know, and let's be clear here. Brandon Ayuk absolutely deserves to be paid and paid very well like a top 10 wide receiver. However, the hand he was dealt with being surrounded by so many other highly paid playmakers on the 49ers might not lead to a contract extension. We've seen so much wide receiver movement across the NFL over the last couple years and the history of the NFL. But such a talented player that is still young and will now have kind of something to prove if he is traded potentially, what's the asking price? Because the 49ers aren't necessarily going to let him walk. I wouldn't use the Stephon Diggs trade as any type of comparison because it's a second round pick, but Diggs is obviously older. He's obviously getting paid a lot of money currently. You know, the Texans kind of voided the remainder of his contract and he's basically on a 1-year deal now with the Texans. That won't necessarily be the case, so that's not a really a good mark to compare to Deontay Johnson getting traded from the Steelers. Not necessarily a similar situation. These guys are a little bit older than where Ayuk currently is. And, you know, looking back on other comparable wide receiver trades, I think A.J. Brown's trade from the Titans to the Eagles is a really good starting point in any conversation surrounding Ayuk. I mean, Brandon Ayuk and A.J. Brown were both kind of ultra productive on the rookie contracts. Each needed a new deal. And Brown was traded on draft night and kind of a shocker to the Eagles for the 18th and 101st pick in the draft to the Titans that season. Brown then signed a $100 million contract with the Eagles, what has been very incredible since landing in Philadelphia. And I think that's a kind of a potential preview of the Ayuk trade specifically. It's a trade that kind of makes the most sense to compare Ayuk's situation to. And I think that starts with a first-round pick. I don't think that's necessarily up for debate. Brandon Ayuk was taken in the first round. And, you know, the 49ers might be kind of playing their cards tight right now because a reason this is, you know, kind of continued to drag on is teams who have, you know, potentially missed on the free agent wide receiver market, which wasn't necessarily amazing, or they got swooped in the draft in the next couple weeks here, and maybe they traded away a wide receiver like, you know, the Buffalo Bills, Pittsburgh Steelers, Los Angeles Chargers. I think any one of those teams could be desperate now to pull the trigger on trading for Ayuk, you know, if they need to stock their offense with some new weapons. I mean, look at what the Chargers did. No Mike Williams, no Keenan Allen. Obviously, the finances there are extremely tight, so that they would have to figure out how to make that work. But I mean, I think that's a team that you know, potentially picks up the phone if the 49ers are trying to trade him. I think the Steelers are another team kind of sitting in the sweet spot of the draft where I think they could probably move on with one of those picks if they don't land a guy they want. And then there's obviously the Buffalo Bills. However, again, financially, how are they going to extend Ayuk with how their cap space lines up after just moving off of Stephon Diggs could clear up some room for them. You know, and obviously there's some sleeper teams out there that could potentially throw their hat into the ring and get involved here down the stretch. But I think those are some teams to keep an eye on. I think also how the draft board falls on draft night with where wide receivers go. Obviously, this draft is specifically headlined by Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. Obviously, those guys are going to go probably in the top 10-ish, it seems like. But there's still obviously a lot of very talented wide receivers on the board. If maybe some of those guys get taken, teams could get very desperate and pick up the phone and start to call John Lynch and negotiate. I think that as the draft heats up over the next 2 to 3 weeks, the Ayuk situation was one of the most fascinating situations to follow. And to be honest with everything I just said, I think I'm kind of convincing myself the 49ers do need to trade Ayuk and kind of maximize his valuable, because without, you know, losing Deebo Samuel, McCaffrey, Kittle, Trent Williams, one of the higher paid contracts on the 49ers, some combination of those, whoever it is, will be a key contributor of some sort. Without losing a key contributor, I just don't know how you make it work with Ayuk. I feel like he'd have to take kind of like a hometown discount, which I don't think he would do, and I don't think he should do. If I'm making the argument from Brandon Ayuk, I think he absolutely deserves the money that is going to come to him soon here. And I think it's just not going to happen. I don't think the 49ers are at the stage where they're going to move on from a Samuel, McCaffrey, etc. I feel it's less likely that they trade someone who's like currently under contract than actually trade Ayuk. If I was betting on one or the other, I'd bet on them trading Ayuk versus getting rid of one of these guys I just mentioned. And especially if he's netting a first round pick, because I think out of all those guys, Ayuk's probably the most likely to pick up that first rounder, even if it's, you know, not this year and potentially next year. And I think it's an unfortunately kind of a smart move for the 49ers, as hard as it is to give up a player that I just spent a ton of time praising, but potentially for Ayuk to get him paid what he deserves. You know, and to reiterate, this isn't a shade towards Ayuk at all. This is kind of what politicking in the NFL looks like. He has to force the 49ers' hand in one direction or the other to get paid what he deserves. And now kind of the big question looming here is, what does it mean if he is traded? You know, does a wide receiver become a position of need for the 49ers? Yes, absolutely, in my opinion. I love Juwan Jennings, but why I love him is because how good he is in his role as that number three wide receiver, as a blocking wide receiver. His role right now in Kyle Shanahan's offense is not to be a number two, is not to be a big time playmaker or anything like that. A guy you lean on to go pick up first downs, to go score touchdowns. I'm not opposed to him giving a crack at it or being in some form of competition, but I don't think putting all that pressure and just shifting him to that number two role is necessarily a smart idea. I think the 49ers would absolutely look at wide receivers in the draft. I think Ladd McConkey's name out of Georgia probably shoots up the big board, a speedster that can run a ton of routes. I think Jalen Polk from Washington, a guy that can play inside out and run a lot of routes, is, you know, another name to watch. And I think Xavier Legit from South Carolina, absolutely, you know, is a name you probably highlight heading into draft weekend. And speaking of South Carolina, congratulations to the Gamecocks beating Caitlin Clark in Iowa in the Women's National Championship. I, you know, personally never spent a ton of time watching women's hoops until this season. I think, like a lot of people, I have a one-year-old daughter. Obviously would love if she is, you know, interested in sports. So got to watch the game with her today, and obviously South Carolina being undefeated and Caitlin Clark doing what she does. Man, it was a good game. It was fun to watch, and obviously seeing my daughter kind of look up at the TV. She has a little Caitlin Clark t-shirt too. It was fun to watch, man. It really was. So shout out to them for putting on an absolute great show in the their tournament. But kind of getting back to the 49ers wide receiver question mark if Ayuk is traded. We talked about some players that could be available in the draft, but there's also the chance that the 49ers kind of opt for a veteran, whether that be Odell Beckham Jr., who is still available. And then there is Tyler Boyd, whose name has been floating around. Some reports have indicated the 49ers have shown interest in him. Michael Thomas is another veteran, obviously has had some injury history. There's a reason some of these guys are still available, but also at this time after the draft, around the draft, these names start to heat up in free agency because teams start to iron out their plans, obviously, whether they worked in the draft or they have to, you know, get creative and sign some of these guys at the kind of the finish line here. But I think bottom line is there are some legit options that could help contribute if Ayuk is traded, whether that be in the draft with one of these young guys. I would love to see, you know, speaking of Ladd McConkey, I would love to see what he looks like in Kyle Shanahan's offense, just because this guy is blazing fast. I mean, would probably step in and be one of the faster players on the 49ers roster the minute he was drafted, if not the fastest. I might be missing somebody thinking just off the top of my head talking here. But, yeah, I mean, I would just love to see what kind of, like, that type of speed would have. We got to see a little bit of it when Marquise Goodwin was in Santa Clara, who's an awesome guy, by the way. But, yeah, it would just be nice to see what that speed threat would do, because as fast as Ayuk is and as fast as Deebo Samuel is, they're not really those burner types, those one-route types. So it would be interesting to see how creative Kyle Shanahan could get with a guy like that in their offense. Before we wrap up the podcast here, that's going to do it for our conversation regarding Brandon Ayuk. I wanted to talk about one thing that I thought was kind of interesting, that I was just happened to be scrolling Twitter, and Akash from Bay Area Sports Digest, you probably follow him if you're listening to this podcast, one of the best 49ers content creators in the game, tweeted about this, and I thought it was a good point, and I wanted to kind of steal it and mention it here, because obviously some major news that has been happening in the NFL over the last couple weeks or so is the decision to change the kickoff rules and kind of have this new look kickoff. Things are going to change with that. And you've seen kind of a little bit of an influx in special team specific players being signed across the league. And you know, while the 49ers missed out on tight end Brock Wright earlier in the week, the Detroit Lions matched the offer sheet the 49ers extended to him, the restricted free agent. So he's going to go back to Detroit. They did make one small move, signing running back Patrick Taylor. And, you know, the former Memphis Tiger running back hasn't necessarily put up crazy rushing numbers in his career, but he can play special teams. And when you look at some of the other kind of under-the-radar signings the 49ers have made this offseason, like Ezekiel Turner specifically, who's been a great special teamer in his career, Chase Lucas, Isaac Yiadom, and then re-signing George Odom, who's obviously been their special team ace this last season. The 49ers seem to be absolutely loading up on special teams, and I think the new kickoff rule in place, it feels like a focus. The 49ers front office, you know, has been to stock up and kind of turn their attention to the special teams unit with kind of proven playmakers in that facet of the game specifically. I'm absolutely interested to see how this new kickoff rule works out. I applaud the NFL for kind of being innovative, making changes, because it feels like kickoffs have been kind of such an afterthought for the last couple of years, and now it will have some excitement, and the 49ers seem to be kind of cornering the market on some of these solid special team players who have been available in free agency. But yeah, shout out to Akash for kind of putting that together after the Patrick Taylor signing was, I think I retweeted his tweet on my Twitter, and you can follow me at Tommy_III on Twitter. But that's going to do it for us here on the Dog Days of Summer podcast. I've had a little bit of I got an ear infection, and it kind of gave me a little bit of cough. So I've been really sick the last, like, pretty much 2 weeks. It was not pretty. It was not fun at all. But I'm feeling better. But I still have this little bit of a lingering cough, so sorry if my voice comes across a little scratchy or a little tired. I'm happy to be back talking with you folks here about the San Francisco 49ers on the Believe in 49ers podcast. You can always hit me on Twitter if you want to talk some ball. Got a draft prospect, a free agent you want me to talk about that you think I'm missing, or if you want to talk some hoops. The Golden State Warriors, I'm the managing editor of USA Today's Warriors Wire. And Warriors fans, how are we feeling about the play-in tournament? Warriors officially clinching a top 10 seed. Do you call the play-in tournament the playoffs, the postseason? Because it's not necessarily the playoffs, it's the play-in tournament. It looks like the Warriors are going to have to go through some combination of the Lakers, Pelicans, Suns to punch a ticket to the, you know, official playoffs. With how bad they've been this season, is it maybe kind of a blessing in disguise that they're going to have to play two road games to get into the playoffs? I think it might be. This team is just different when they're on the road, and it's very opposite, but kind of mirrors some similarities of last year, where they obviously struggled greatly on the road but were very good at home. It's weirdly flip-flopped. Steph obviously got a night off on Sunday, and the Warriors are still able to kind of complete a rather dominant win over the Utah Jazz. Kuminga got to come back after missing 6 games, I believe, and I think as good as it is, you know, Kuminga's back, and Klay Thompson seems to be playing well, and Trayce Jackson-Davis has absolutely emerged. I think my honest opinion is the difference maker for the 49ers Warriors entirety of their postseason hopes, whether they can kind of make a run, surprise some teams, yet alone actually punch a ticket to the official playoffs, really sounds Andrew Wiggins. He has been great down the stretch, looks like a different player over these last couple weeks here. He's dealing with a bit of an ankle injury, but if I think they can squeeze out of him this player they've got over the last couple weeks, whatever that is, if they can get Wiggins to kind of stick with that and actually be a key contributor and look like, you know, a shade of that all-star Wiggins run, that could be what the 49ers, I'm going to keep saying that, that could be what the Warriors need to make a playoff run here down the stretch in the play-in tournament and end to the official playoffs. But before we get out of here, got to mention it. It's tomorrow. Men's National Championship. Let's get a little preview. Let's get a little prediction, and we will wrap it up. UConn versus Purdue. Who had that in your brackets? Arguably two of the best teams. I feel like a lot of people could have potentially put those two out there. Kind of the cheap homer-ish pick. I mean, UConn versus Houston was probably one of the more likelier picks. I think it should be a really exciting game. Hard for me to personally focus on. Kind of delayed even my taping process here with Believe in 49ers because I'm a Kentucky Hoops fan. We found out tonight John Calipari is bolting for Arkansas. Honestly, I'm shocked. I'm not shocked he's left. I'm not shocked the Calipari era is over in Lexington. I am shocked because he left to an in-conference team, in-conference rival, just in this matter, in this fashion, late on a Sunday night, just kind of out the door like that. I do think it is a win-win for both sides overall. I think the pressure, I think he was in a situation where he had to win the national championship this year, this next coming year, to kind of keep his job anyways, and that pressure for anybody's tough. The program needed a change. The balloon popped maybe a year or two ago, honestly. I'll always have a ton of fond memories of Calipari, the Final Four runs, the championship, the NBA players. I'll always love them. But that exit will be a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people, including myself. But anyways, back to the national championship. Purdue, book it. Zach Edey completes the Team of Destiny vibes after losing to a 16 seed last year. UConn, absolute wagon. But it feels rather storybook. It feels rather poetic for Purdue not to win it all. Speaking of destiny, this is a question my friend Nash asked me earlier in the week. So shout out to Nash. He said, what's, you know, is Zach Edey going to go down as potentially one of the greatest college players of all time? What does his legacy look like if they win this game? Most outstanding player in the tournament, two Naismith players of the year, and a championship. That's a conversation for a different podcast. Hit me up on Twitter at Tommy_III. If you have an answer to that, where does Zach Edey rank all time in college basketball players? I'm going to leave you with that here on Believe in 49ers. How are those connected? I have no idea, but I'm a big sports fan, and I'm lucky enough to have the platform to talk to you people about it every week here on Believe in 49ers. Thank you again for listening. We will be back. More draft content. Hopefully we get some clarity on what's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk here. That'll all be lined up for our next podcast here. Thank you again to our sponsor, Bet Online. But most importantly, thank you for listening to Believe in 49ers, presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.